Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast.
There is a town in Maine.
I'd like a room. Welcome to Storybrooke.
Where every storybook character you've ever known is trapped between two worlds.
The evil queen sent a bunch of fairy tale characters here.
And now they don't remember who they are.
Victims of a powerful curse.
Everything you love, everything all of you love, will be taken from you.
Only one knows the truth, and only one can break her spell.
It's your destiny. You're gonna bring back the happy endings.
You enjoy your stay.
Hey everybody, welcome to the inaugural pilot episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. I just want to say right up front that this is not associated with ABC or Once Upon a Time. We're just fans. That's all.
Right. And who are we again?
We are fans. My name is Jeff Roney, and my lovely wife here,
Colleen Roney,
is my co-host, and we are your hosts for this podcast. And we both come at this show from different angles. We both love Lost.
Yes, we do.
Whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But I also come from a love of Star Wars and a love of story and a love of classic movies and Disney stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's where I come from.
Right.
And my wife comes from a different angle.
I do enjoy Disney a lot, and I also enjoy, you know, fairy tales. That's what I remember reading as a child. Those are my favorite stories. Greek mythology too, although that's not really going to play so much, I don't think, here, although some of it. But anyway, point being that we come from, you know, a background of we really love stories, and that's it.
The gist of this podcast isn't just going to be us kind of getting together, oh, this is so cool, or we love this, or we don't like that. There's going to be part of that. But I think what we bring to the table is a real analytical look at this show.
Sure.
Because when you have the writers from Lost, and Damon Lindelof, I believe, in interviews also mentioned, yes, we're going to put Easter eggs from Lost in there. And there's also going to be tie-ins from Disney, the fairy tale, the story, the differences, and all this. So there's a depth to it. And that's why we love Lost.
Right.
It's because it wasn't just a story, but there were certain things that you could see kind of connecting back and forth and that kind of a thing. So it was not only fun to watch the first time, but the second and third and fourth time, because you saw different things. And so that's what we love about this show.
Right. And there's always something that you pay attention now because it will come up later. And that's where I like seeing the, wait, I remember that. That was in, you know, the second season, episode 4, where they talked about this. And, you know, you kind of make a mental note, but you don't think about it. And then it does surface somewhere later. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that here. And we'll try and highlight as much of that as we can, but we don't want to give too much away.
At this point right now, we're playing catch up. We're a little late in the game, but this is episode 1, and we're going to be covering the pilot episode of Once Upon a Time.
Right.
But this is important. I want to say this right now. We are not experts. Our goal is not to mention every single little detail.
Right.
We're going to do the best we can, and I think we've noticed a whole bunch.
And we can put more of our information, whatever we don't discuss here on the podcast, we can always post on our website.
Right. And the website URL is onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Right.
So that's easy to
remember. It's easy enough.
So the key to this thing is what we miss, we know that you will find. And so this podcast is not only just us talking.
Right.
But it's also you becoming involved, posting on the Twitter feed or email to us or a voicemail message or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We need you. And
right.
That's the key to this whole thing. Let's give a little overview of the show.
Great. I think that's a good idea. So if you found this podcast, you probably already know the premise of the show, but maybe if you have not seen the show, you might be interested in watching it once you hear this. I read the description of the show, which was basically Snow White and Prince Charming's daughter is transported to the real world from the fairy tale world, and her son that she gave up for adoption 10 years before finds her and tries to convince her to realize who she is and also to have her help the characters or folks that live in his town, Storybrooke, Maine, to realize that they are actually fairy tale characters from the fairy tale world. She's also supposed to be the one who breaks this evil curse that is upon both the fairy tale world and the real world.
You also knew some information about the writers from Lost and how this show was kind of...
Well, and how the show came about. Okay, so this is what I read. I read somewhere that two of the writers from Lost had this idea for this show back in 2004, but because they were starting to work on Lost, they decided to shelve this project until later. And then they, once Lost was finished, they moved forward with it and they resurrected it and brought it to ABC. And apparently ABC loved the idea and they consult with Damon Lindelof. And that's how this has come about. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of Lost tie-ins. So I think that Lost fans will really appreciate it. And if you didn't watch Lost, you'll still appreciate it anyway.
Well, I think there's definitely a number of groups of fans that I'm definitely creating this podcast for. Lost fans.
Right.
Disney fans.
Right.
Once Upon a Time fans. And fairy tale fans. And also television in general. Because this year in particular, 2011, this fall season, is just a bang-up season. There are really some great shows out there.
Right.
And we've never done a podcast about a television show until now.
Right.
So that should tell you a whole lot. Okay, now we're going to give a bullet-pointed, quick recap of the pilot episode. We're not going to cover everything, but we're just going to kind of give big pieces of the show.
Right, because the whole point of that show was to introduce you to the characters.
Right.
And the basically set up the premise for the remainder of this series. You do see where Snow White herself has died and or appears to be dead in her little coffin guarded by the seven dwarves. Prince Charming comes in. He wakes her up with a kiss. They get married. And in the middle of the wedding ceremony, the evil queen comes in and says, "Here's my wedding gift to you. This is your last happy day. After this, no more happiness." So they're upset. They try to find a way to defeat her, and they're convinced that they need to do this. Well, they realize that with Snow White being pregnant as she is, this is a little while later, they can't really fight, and she doesn't want to even try. She just wants to get out. So Geppetto and his son carve a cabinet out of a magical tree. But it can only hold one person. That's the fairy godmother who tells them it can only hold one person. And so they wrestle with, okay, well, it's going to be Snow White. Since she's pregnant, she's going to go in there. Problem is the time where this is going to happen, she goes into labor. And she can't go in the tree. So she just sacrifices and says, it has to be the baby. So she gives birth to this little girl. But before she does that, they go down to Rumpelstiltskin, who's in prison, and ask him, how do we break the curse? And he tells them that the key to the, you know, breaking the curse is in her belly, her unborn child. And on her 28th birthday, the baby, a daughter, will save them from the curse. So then Snow White has the baby. They put her in the cabinet. And she's magically transported away from fairy tale land. We don't know where she goes, but she's transported away. She got away. The queen's guards end up wounding and apparently mortally wounding Prince Charming. And when Snow White drags herself in there to find out what goes on, she sees that he's lying there, tries to wake him up with a kiss, and it doesn't work. The queen comes in and says, we're going someplace really, really horrible. And she's like, it doesn't matter. You're going to lose because the baby got away. So good will always win. And then they're basically transported to someplace horrible, which ends up being Storybrooke, Maine. You have this little boy who's 10 years old. He goes to Boston and he finds his birth mother. He convinces her that she needs to take him back home to his adoptive mother in Storybrooke, Maine. She does so and kind of gets a feel for what's going on. And it's a kind of a weird little town. And this little boy seems a little crazy because he thinks that everybody in this town is a fairy tale character, only they don't know it. The mayor finds out that Emma's his birth mother, and she kind of freaks a little bit.
Okay.
She leaves.
Well, she leaves, but okay.
Right. She leaves. And she ends up starting to drive out of town when a wolf shows up in the middle of the street and causes her to have an accident and run into the sign for the town.
Right.
And then she ends up kind of passed out, Henry had left the book. Now, that was kind of an important thing to mention, is that Henry had this book of the fairy tales, and that's where he tried to convince her that she is in the book, that her parents are Snow White and Prince Charming, and that she's the only one who can break the curse. She doesn't believe him, and then he leaves the book in her car. And she's like thinking, you know, that little snot, he left it here, so I'd have to go back. Well, then that's when the wolf kind of distracts her, and she crashes
the
car, right?
The sign of the town.
Right.
And then she's
basically arrested.
Right. And she had a drink or something, and then that's kind of what they try to hang this on her.
That's what it is. Exactly. Because back at the mayor's house, the mayor offered her apple cider, mm-hmm. and she goes, you got anything stronger? And so they sat and drank whiskey, I would imagine.
So then she gets out of jail, mm-hmm. and she finds the mayor coming into the sheriff's office.
Right.
And says, Henry's gone. And so Emma goes to meet Mary Margaret Blanchard.
Well, how she goes to meet her is that she says, I know how to track people. That's what I do for a living.
Oh, that's
so
right. That's right.
They go to the mayor's house, and she looks on the computer for any information. There's absolutely nothing there except that he'd used a credit card. And she's like, Henry doesn't have a credit card. And she goes, well, who's Mary Margaret Blanchard? She goes, that's his teacher. He'd used the credit card for a website to find her. Mm-hmm. So they go to the school and talk to Mary Margaret Blanchard, and they figure out that, yes, he'd taken her credit card. And so he'd explained that Mary Margaret Blanchard is Snow White. That's who he thought she was in the fairy tale world, that his mother was the evil queen. And she, anyway, Mary Margaret said, you want to find him, go to his, you know, his favorite place. It ends up being this little kind of dilapidated playground. Looks kind of like a castle almost, but it's, you know, jungle gym and a playground near the ocean or the bay or whatever. And she goes there and talks to him, and he says, look, you have to understand, I'm not crazy. I know who these people are. They don't know. You need to help them figure it out. You're the one who's supposed to break the curse. She goes, I don't know what you're talking about, but no, that's not who it is. And he goes, look, just stay here. Stay here for a week. Just stay here for a week. And she's like, I really need to get out of here. Well, she ends up going ahead and deciding to stay for a week. So she goes over to Granny's bed and breakfast and rents a room from Granny and her daughter, Ruby. And while she's there checking in, Mr. Gold, who basically owns the town, comes in and collects money from Granny.
Right.
And then leaves. He makes a note of Emma, who she is, and kind of comments on how lovely her name is and happy to meet her. And so you kind of think, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, enjoy your stay.
So she ends up staying there. And then after she makes that decision and she's handed a room key to Granny's bed and breakfast, you see Henry sitting in his window in his house, in his bedroom, and he's watching the town clock. And it moves for the first time, like probably ever. So he just grins and is very excited because he knows that she's going to do what she's supposed to do.
And that was the pilot.
Oh, we missed one little thing. One little very key.
We missed one thing?
So we missed a few things. But we missed a very key moment, which is that Mary Margaret Blanchard is volunteering at the hospital, and mm-hmm. she's taking little vases of flowers to these, you know, patients, and she's, you know, saying hello to them and, you know, giving them a comforting, you know, hand squeeze. And there's one gentleman who is basically John Doe, and he's lying in the in a separate room in a coma, and she leaves the vase for him, and then the camera pans away, and it's the same Prince Charming.
Right.
So, those are kind of the key things to remember. But that's pretty much how the pilot ends, with the clock starting again.
Yeah. Now, we're going to discuss, some people call them Easter eggs. I want to call them connections because it has nothing to do with Easter or anything.
Right.
So I'm going to put on my analytical goggles.
Okay.
So they're going to be Lost goggles and Disney goggles and once upon a time connections of things happening the same way.
Right.
In both lands and kind of over and over and over. My Star Wars goggles. I'm even going to throw on my Bible goggles here and there, little things. And so that's what I bring. Now, your goggles are going to be more fairy tale.
Right.
Goggles.
Fairy tale and Disney oriented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things that we're going to bring out. And even with this list, we watched it again, and Colleen added more things.
Right.
And also, I've been looking at other websites, and they've added more things. So, like I said, this is not just about us being, we know everything. That's not this is it.
No,
we kind of want to get the conversation started, and you bring more. We're together in this thing.
We've done some research, but clearly for us to sit and research everything would be a full-time job, and we already have those.
Right.
And us researching this wouldn't pay the rent, so.
Right. Connections, Easter eggs, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
Overall, I noticed that the butterfly was in one of the show logos. And so this idea of transformation coming from
a caterpillar to the
butterfly is these fairy tale characters in the real world are asleep. Mm-hmm. They don't realize who they are. And so there's some transformation that's going to happen. And either they go back or they stay in there. Whatever happens, there's going to be a transformation. So,
and two, butterflies do tend to play sometimes a small role in fairy tales. Not specifically, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I do know that they're usually considered good things, happy things. They represent innocence.
The wardrobe, and I think the wardrobe in particular that Emma was in could be considered a cocoon.
Correct.
In that, taken from one world to another, kind of like a portal.
Even the coffin that they put Snow White in had a design that it was glass. Mm-hmm. It was more rounded lid. Sorry. It was more of a rounded lid, and it had like interwoven, almost like leaded glass, but it was very cocoon-shaped.
True.
So it was tree branches that were interspersed. I can't explain it, but it's very much a cocoon. It looked like a lot like a cocoon.
And I think the main thing for the Lost fans is that there were the two worlds, you know, whether it's flash sideways, flash forwards, flash back, whatever, and then the island, and everyone had two different lives.
Right.
They were known as one thing in one land or mm-hmm. area, mm-hmm. and then another in the other land. So,
and a lot of them went through transformations from from season one to season five.
Six. Right.
They didn't stay the same.
So you had in Kate's situation, she was up for murder. But on this island, nobody knew about that, really. I mean, they were a little, but people had the opportunity to be different and all this kind of thing. So two different lands, two different lives. I made a list of some names. And there's hopefully some more that we come upon. So Emma Swan, for the Lost people, could have been the Swan Station. And some people actually searches to find my list said, is Emma Swan the Swan Princess? And I think that's an interesting question.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about the Swan Princess story. I'd have to look that up, but that's a possible connection. And then I just did some research on my own, and the name Emma means all-containing or universal. Hmm. So that's kind of an interesting choice for that name.
And Henry is the little boy with the book. It could be Henry Gale, just kind of a...
Which is
tip to the
name
hat.
That Ben used
on
Lost.
Yeah, the first name that Ben used found him.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was in a balloon.
Right.
And floated over to the Lost Island. So, and Henry Gale was a character from Wizard of Oz.
Right. He was the traveling salesman who ended up being the wizard himself.
So.
And he floated around in a balloon. That was kind of the connection there.
So Snow White slash... and another thing just to is Emma Swan and Henry, at this point right now, do not have a companion name for the other... land.
Oh, right. You're right. They don't. They don't have another, an alter ego, so to speak, a fairy tale alter ego, because although Emma's name in fairy tale world was Emma, so she didn't get a different name. She is
true.
Who she is.
No, you're
she,
right. You're right.
You know.
Henry for sure.
Well, yeah, because he didn't exist at all in the fairy tale world.
Right. Snow White slash Mary Margaret Blanchard.
Right.
And my lovely wife is the French speaker, so what is...
Blanc is the word for... It's the color white in French. So, and Snow White, I don't know if... I don't think it was a French fairy tale. Cinderella was, but Snow White was not. But point being is that Blanc is the word for white, which is interesting.
See, she's so smart.
And Mary Margaret, I just thought of this. Mary Margaret is a traditional Catholic name, a very good Catholic name. Mary, also for the Virgin Mary, may symbolize purity, and typically snow is pure white.
Right.
So there's that subtle connection. I mean, we may be stretching that far too thin, but it's very convenient.
Mm-hmm. So Prince Charming, John Doe, I didn't get... much on that, but I think in the future episodes there's some more specific stuff that
if I remember right, Prince Charming in Snow White was actually a hunter, and John Doe would be a deer. So it's kind of an interesting possible, again, thread stretching
perfect
connection.
So the Evil Queen slash Regina Mills.
Right. Now Regina happens to be, I believe it's Latin for queen. So if you know anything at all about, like, Queen Elizabeth, she's also known as Regina. That's not her name. That's her title, is Regina. She's the queen. I'm positive it's Latin. Anyway, so the fact that she is Regina, she's the queen, but also Mills. Here's where, and again, I'm kind of stretching the heck out of this one. The Miller's daughter in the story Rumpelstiltskin is who went to Rumpelstiltskin and basically needed him to help her spin straw into gold. So I'm kind of thinking there may be some sort of connection between her being the Miller's daughter and going to Rumpelstiltskin, because as we see in the fairy tale world, she did go to Rumpelstiltskin eventually, and she did talk to him in the real world eventually. So, like I said, that's a stretch, but we'll see how that pans out.
That's great. Sheriff Graham, we were kind of discussing that, is perhaps it's the Sheriff of Nottingham, something from Robin Hood, maybe. Again, that's a stretch.
Or maybe he's Robin Hood himself. We don't know yet. He's kind of a mystery at this point.
Well, and he doesn't have an alter ego either.
We haven't seen that alter ego. Right. We don't know yet.
Right.
He could, but we don't know what it is yet.
So we have Jiminy Cricket, and we have Archie Hopper.
Right.
Which...
That's kind of funny. He's a grasshopper.
So Cricket. And all that.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then we have Rumpelstiltskin slash Mr. Gold.
Right. And as I mentioned, the fairy tale is that he spins straw into gold.
Right.
So.
And then he also has power with names. There's a kind of a ownership with names. And
right. In other words, I will release you from your, contract of giving me your firstborn if you can guess my name.
Right.
That was a big deal.
So the magic mirror slash Sydney, that's the name in the real world, of this person.
Right.
And of course, Sydney was where the Oceanic 815 departed from Lost and crashed on that magical island.
Right.
So,
and then Sydney in the real world is the a journalist for the paper in Storybrooke called the Daily Mirror.
The Daily Mirror. Get it?
Oh, wow. Daily That's Mirror. Such a stretch. Not really.
Okay. So now we're going to kind of dive into the list of the different Easter eggs or connections that we found in the pilot. So some of these are going to be a stretch. Like I said, sometimes when we get so involved in this, we just kind of go too far. And so some people are going to go, that's too far. And we probably will tell you. But anyway, so now the first Lost thing we see is that when Prince Charming, and this may be a stretch, Prince Charming rides to go see Snow White. There's a bridge between the two section islands of the fairy tale land. And to me, it seemed like there were two islands, like the two islands of Lost. You know, there for the first couple of seasons, there's this one island, but actually there was another island. And so that kind of a thing. Anyway, that was just me.
Yeah.
Then there's a non-Lost one was when we first see Snow White buried in a tree.
Right. Her coffin's very much like a tree.
Right. The coffin was inside of a tree.
Yeah, it was kind of placed on the ground inside of the hollow of a tree, yeah.
So, and then Emma was placed in a tree, as it were.
Right.
That was carved as a wardrobe or
which
some type of...
Which still had a very tree-like shape to
right,
it.
Right, right. So there's a connection there.
Right.
And so, you know, in a way, you could say the coffin is kind of like a transport to the beyond, right?
Sure.
So anyway, it's kind of a similar thing there. Another non-loss was Emma was transported to New Land through a wardrobe. And it's very interesting, like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Right, which is not really a fairy tale, so to speak, right. But it is a good fantasy story.
Yeah, and sometimes, see, this is what I think is interesting, and I don't want to get too deep in it, but Star Wars, with the themes that are there, certain people watch certain things, and it resonates.
Sure.
In a certain way. For instance, if you see Darth Maul, looks like the devil with horns and all that. I mean, there's certain things that happen, so... Anyway, that's what we're going to do when we see certain things. So,
sure.
The next one is Lost, the Prince's Kiss, that broke the spell, the sleeping spell of Snow White. There's a shock wave, and it kind of reminded me of when the hatch blew up. There's this kind of weird color that kind of went out.
Right.
And another one, and another Lost connection, I think, is the colors in the windows of the church and the wedding, reminding me of the windows in the side room of the church during the finale of Lost. Remember when Jack was talking to his father, and they're right in front of this window that had a lot of people say the six representations of the six big religions. Somebody said there was the wheel, and some people said that was actually a Buddhist symbol. So
right.
Anyway, but the colors kind of clicked with me for that. And, you know, there's a non-loss is Snow White is in white and the Evil Queen is in black. So it's that kind of, you know,
traditional, almost like a Western.
Good and evil.
Exactly.
Right, right.
The good cowboy wears white, the bad cowboy wears black. Yeah.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
And, but with the Evil Queen, there's also this kind of, red, just little hints
little
of red,
red. Yeah.
Here and there. And the Evil Queen is the woman in black. In Lost, we had the man in black, and now we have the woman in black. So it's kind
mm-hmm.
of...
She's
but
very,
she has some...
Well, and she even turns into Black Smoke Monster, which,
right.
we, as we know, that's who he was, so... Mm-hmm.
And she has men in black that fight for her.
Right,
so.
Right, which is another...
Yeah. And it's not with Will Smith or anything.
No.
So, a lot of times in the pilot, and I think as time goes on, there's a lot of... finding, find, lost, you're lost, I'm lost. So there's a lot
right.
of that kind of lost and found.
Yeah.
So
right.
The next thing is when Prince Charming throws a sword at the Evil Queen, she turns into dark smoke.
Right.
So, and that's kind of a theme we see more and more. It's either a heralding of her coming or that she turns into smoke.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we'll see that in future episodes too. A Rubik's Cube on Emma's table. I always thought the Lost Island was one big Rubik's Cube. I'm a huge Lost fan. Sorry.
Right.
For what it's worth.
Right.
So the next one was Emma lights a star candle on a cupcake and wishes. And basically, she wishes on a star.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of cool. On the outside of Emma's apartment door is a list of spells.
Right. Henry goes up to the door and there's writing on it. And if you look hard enough, you realize that it's a list of spells.
I was looking around and some forums were saying that it looks like a pence for a certain type of spell. And as far as I understand, there's a story that the art department, that door was there.
Hmm.
And that they didn't put that door there and they left it just as it was. Now, some people say, are you kidding me? you know, it's all these spells and things and this kind of fantasy show. You got to be kidding me. They put that that door there. But anyway, some of the wording I did see, it says spell, beguile, and that kind of a thing. Mm. So anyway, and Emma's apartment number is 205. Don't know what that means. I looked around for the lost numbers and I didn't see anything.
Yeah, sometimes there may or may not be. I mean, if you take 20 minus 5, you get 15, which is one of the lost numbers. I don't know that that's any, you know, specific thing, but anyway. Yeah,
Dr. Phil's listening and taking notes. You know, Jeff is just far too obsessed with this.
Yeah, not quite so much.
So the next one is Emma was given up by her parents. Emma gave up Henry for adoption 10 years ago, right. The show said.
So. And in fact, when they said that, when Snow told Prince to take her to the wardrobe and put her in, he says, it's her best chance. I want to give her her best chance. And when Henry kind of confronts Emma and says, I know why you gave me up. It's so that I could have my best chance.
Right.
There's that, you know, echoing from the fairy tale world.
And she confirms that later.
Yes, she does.
She said, you're right. I did want to give you your best chance.
Right.
So, and then we also see a Tinkerbell wind sculpture as Emma was driving by.
Yeah, it was in a garden. Little chime thing in a garden. Yeah.
And there's a link, and I can put in the show notes, of a guy that took some pictures in Vancouver, which is where it's filmed. Vancouver, Canada. And the Storybrooke Hardware and Paint logo has a lighthouse right in the middle. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And another one was Emma Swan's license plate is 836M4X. Do not know what it means.
But you never know. I mean, it may never surface to be anything. It could very well be very significant later. We just don't know yet.
Right. So another one is a child savior, but this time it's a female. So it's kind of a twist on, you know, what we've kind of grown to understand. Right. So clock stops at 8:15, Oceanic 8:15. From what I understand also, that at 8:15, that's when Hiroshima was bombed.
Oh, interesting.
That same time. Mm. So, you know, it could be coincidence or not.
Right.
With the numbering. So, fairy tale creatures are sent to Storybrooke where time stopped and they are trapped until they're released. They can't leave. If they try, bad things happen. So, very much like, you know, the raft and Lost, you know, it's like you kind of bump up against certain things and you can't get out. And the same thing with Emma leaving Storybrooke, she was blocked by the wolf and she crashed into the sign. So you can't leave.
Right. You can't leave.
And there's a standard clock shop, you know, could be referring to time travel, and the clock shop is on the main street in Storybrooke.
Right.
Archie Hopper's walking a Dalmatian, 101 Dalmatians. He's wearing a scarf with some green on it, carrying an umbrella. And he catches Henry and Eli and he warns him about falling into his dark side. It never is a good thing. And when I was watching this show, I heard him whistle as he was walking away. And I played it a couple of times and I knew the tune. It's hard to hear.
Very hard, because they start talking over it a little bit.
But there's like a first part, and then somebody talks, and then the second part, I recognize that, and I looked in Pinocchio, and it was Give a Little Whistle.
Right.
So.
Go ahead.
Let's see. The fairy godmother dress resembles, to me, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. It had the little kind of tentacles. It was a strange looking dress. When she was explaining about how the tree was magical,
right,
and it could protect someone. And Pinocchio is sitting on the floor during the war, the war group's meeting, and he was smooth in a carving of Monstro with a stone,
which is interesting.
And that's another thing we forgot to say.
What's that?
They were gonna attack the queen.
Right.
And anyway, the recap is tough.
No, you did that.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Yeah, you did.
I can't remember. It's too early. You didn't. Okay, so hiding in a magical tree, there's an Icelandic fairy tale about a red and blue tree protecting people from their enemies. And also there's another little tree thing in future episodes that I don't want to talk about right now.
No, we won't talk about
that. The mayor, who's also the evil queen slash witch or old woman, offers apple cider, and there's a bowl of apples in her house. There's apples in Snow White's house.
Apples play a very key role in this.
And the mayor, it was funny that the mayor opened Emma Swan's door in the hotel or the bed and breakfast and offers her apples and a basket. So it's very
not this episode.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Sorry.
Spoiling a little bit.
Well,
that's all right. Okay.
So the picture of the bird on the wall in the mayor's house, you know, possibly is a crow, maybe. I don't know. There's a figurine next to the couch where Emma Swan is sitting. And
kind of looks like Little Mermaid.
You thought it looked like the Little Mermaid.
Like the statue of the mermaid in Copenhagen from the story. It's a very famous one where she's sitting on a rock.
It was really hard to tell. There was nothing behind her. It was almost like there was a bird or something behind. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really hard to tell. Yeah. And it may or may not be anything. It may just be background decoration for all we know.
So let's see here. So Emma has blonde hair. Evil Queen has black hair. But yes, Snow White has black hair.
White had black hair in the story. Her hair was like a raven.
Right.
Her lips were like rubies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And her skin was like ivory, I think.
It was like snow.
Snow, yeah. See, that's why I leave that fairy tale stuff to her.
Right.
Okay. So we talked about the wolf. We talked about the black smoke rolling in.
Right.
Emma's
and she comes in for the baby. And by the way, Emma was wrapped in a white blanket with a purple ribbon. So there's the white theme of snow, purity, connection to her mother. But purple is a royal color. Mm. So that gives that little vein of royalty running through the blanket, which was interesting.
Something else I think is interesting, too. If I remember right, in the Ten Commandments, when the death angel was coming for the firstborn,
mm-hmm.
they were smoke.
Oh, possibly.
That was coming in.
Right. Well.
Sorry. Now it's my turn to bump the.
And then the other thing, too, is when the queen is. So she rides ahead in a coach ahead of. Wow, we got problems here. She rides in a coach ahead of the smoke to go to the castle to go take the baby to get rid of, deal with, Snow and Prince Charming. Her face kind of appears mm-hmm. very mysteriously through the window of her coach. It's a very oval shape, very much like a mirror.
Yep. Emma's eye is shown opening when she wakes up in jail, which is very lost-like.
Lost-like, yeah.
Leroy, who was the flip of Grumpy.
Yes.
Is whistling Whistle While You Work when he's in the jail cell.
Which is kind of a funny thing because his name is Leroy, which, by the way, Le Roi is French for king.
Hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting, even though he's grumpy, it's kind of an interesting little choice of name. Don't know if they just chose it randomly or if they actually delved into the meaning of it. But
grumpy people can be kings.
Yeah, they can actually.
Okay, Mary Margaret Blanchard is holding onto a blue bird and then releases it out the window.
Which Snow White also did the same thing.
Yeah. And the sound they used to go to commercial is very lost.
Well, it's not even like going to commercial. Well, I mean, I guess it was.
It was after the segment.
Yeah.
So there were swans on Henry's lamp. As it was like a rotating inner piece of plastic with different colored animals.
Yeah, and it was mostly flowers and swans.
Yep. And Regina Mills looks in the mirror, that kind of a thing. So
the other thing is that so Mary Margaret, she's a teacher. And I kind of thought that maybe that's because she's doing that because she's trying to fill a void for her, you know, she doesn't have children of her own, so she's teaching other young children, and she really notices Henry and kind of singles him out as, you know, being a very special boy. She talks about him being a very special boy, and so, I mean, it's kind of funny that she's singled out her own grandson and doesn't realize that's who he is.
So we also see, I think white flowers is another thing that's just everywhere.
Well, yeah. Again, white symbolizes purity,
but
love and purity.
But they're in front of the mayor, Regina Mills' mm-hmm. house, along her walkway up to the house.
Sure.
So, and her house is white too. It's just kind of, anyway.
Right. White and black.
Yeah. Right. So Granny's bed and breakfast address is 910. I don't know, Storybrooke, yeah. Main Street, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then we see Ruby, which is Red Riding Hood.
Right. She puts on a red scarfy
looks
wrap.
Like a hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Granny's Bed and Breakfast. And then we also see Mr. Gold there, which we talked about.
Right.
And there looks to be like a swan on the key that Granny gives Emma for her room.
Right.
So, and once Emma gets the key and goes up to the room, all the parts are in place and
right.
the clock begins to move again. So
right.
it's not that it's over, but it's like now all the players are together. So now the destiny can now move forward.
Right.
So.
Right. So that's really, yeah. Lots of those things.
So let me see. So, okay, the pilot episode was watched by 13 million viewers and received a 4.0 ratings in adults from 18 to 49. And it was the season's number one rated drama debut amongst adults 18 through 49 and ABC's biggest debut in 5 years. The interesting thing is I read an article in Variety, and it was saying that how traditional television has been kind of poo-pooed off, that they couldn't make a great show, that the only great shows were on cable stations or pay cable or something like that. And Leonard Maltin said, that's not true. You know, Lost was a great show. And now Once Upon a Time is a great show also.
Yeah.
And
the production value on that, it's a really, I mean, it is amazing the detail and the amount of effort they put into both the fantasy world, the fairy tale world, and the real world. I mean, there's all kinds of, again, little Easter eggs that we don't want to go into too much in this, you know, first episode we're doing, because there's a couple more we need to do. But there's all kinds of little, you know, little innuendos, nuances, things like that, that I think we want to point out that will that they've put a lot of time and effort and thought into, just like they did with Lost. I mean, all the connections and things they did on Lost and how people were interconnected with each other, I think it's I think they're going to do a lot of that here too.
And it makes it fun. So
well,
that there's rewatchability and that kind of a thing.
Right.
So here's the key is I've noticed, especially this year, that television shows are being looked upon strongly. Mm-hmm. Really, they're watched. And so I really recommend that you get on social media, that you follow the actors, that you follow the writers, follow the show,
mm-hmm.
and you interact with them and let them know that you're really enjoying it, that you're really watching it. You can use a Once Upon a Time hashtag, that you can also use Get Glue, which is a iPhone and internet app to let basically ABC know that you're watching.
Right.
And then also follow other people so that we can kind of generate interest in this show. I mean, I mentioned at the beginning all the groups that I think this show appeals to. And if we have all those groups watching this show will be on for a while. But if not, this show might only last, you know, this season. So
I don't think we're in danger of it yet, because it was up for a People's Choice Award for 2012. So
right.
That's actually a good thing.
And ABC picked up the last 9 episodes,
which is fantastic.
So now we have a full season
for
sure. But I don't want anyone, because it's an interesting time in television history. There used to be a time when a show could go on for years and they would kind of let it get its legs. And mm-hmm. that's not the way anymore. Mm-mm. It's so much money and everyone's watching the bottom line. So,
well, because it think back. I mean, it used to be that the show was in a studio. You had an audience that would come in and you'd judge how well it was doing based on the audience reaction. But then now you've got these shows that are so fantasy based and so over the top. Because sitting in what amounts to be somebody's living room watching them talk to other characters, is it's not satisfying anymore. You know, I think back to, like, you know, the days of, you know, shows like Friends and Seinfeld and Cheers and, you know, these other shows that you could sit and watch and it'd all take place. It'd be conversations. Now people want to see action. They want to see things like A Lost. Mm-hmm. They want to see shows like The Walking Dead. They want to see these things that require a lot of special effects, right. A lot of production. You know, so yeah, that's why it's one of those things. It either makes or breaks pretty quick. And it looks like this one's doing really well. And I, for one, am really excited. I really look forward to watching, you know, on Sunday nights.
And this show actually is catering to the female watcher.
I think it appeals to everybody.
But really, but initially that was the focus.
Oh,
that they wanted females to watch it, even though men do. I mean, I do, but mm-hmm. I'm just.
Well, and I think that the females will appeal. It appeals to the females on the level of the love story. Mm-hmm. It appeals to females on the level of, you know, feminine rivalry, that sort of right. thing. It also appeals, I think, to the men, because you have these very pretty girls, you know, in these, you know, situations, and they're kind of, you know, they kick butt.
Well, let's just say Ruby.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Let's just say Ruby.
Yeah, okay. You can say Ruby. Right. I'm not going to say
okay.
Ruby.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of our first show.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it was entertaining. I hope it was interesting.
Yeah.
We need your help. We do not know it all, and we would love to hear from you. So we're going to leave all the different ways that you can interact with us. And we would love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the show? Too long, too short? What did you like? What did you not like? What do you think was missing? That kind of a thing.
Right.
We're not going to do news because this show was in the past.
Right.
And so any news that we discuss will be probably better suited in a more up to date show, up to date episode about a show.
Right.
Episode. So anyway, that's it. Yeah. This is Jeff Roney.
And Colleen Roney.
And the first Once Upon a Time fan podcast is done.
How Thanks. Do they contact us if they want to?
Well, they can go to onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Yes.
Or they can, hold please, they can reach us at via email
mm-hmm.
at oncepodcast@gmail.com.
Okay.
There's also a Twitter account, and it's OUAT podcast. So it's twitter.com/OUAT podcast.
Okay.
And there's also a voicemail number that you can call and leave your voicemail feedback. We really appreciate that. It's the number is 657 area 333-0626.
Great.
So give us a call, leave us your thoughts. We really look forward to it.